Our next presenter is Catherine Acevedo Mendoza. She received her doctorate from the University of California at Irvine in the Department of Social Relations with an emphasis in medical anthropology. She then completed her postdoctoral work at Stanford University, where she is now. She conducts research on farm worker health, behavioral health interventions, prevention, and access to medical services. And we're excited to hear about her turn-off TV and dance intervention.
Thank you for coming. First, I'd like to state that I have no financial relationships to disclose. And the title of my talk today is Participation in Culturally Tailored Health Interventions. I want to acknowledge my colleagues who assisted me with this presentation, Maria Fernandez, who is here today, and Sonia Mendoza, who's back in New York, hopefully safe from the storm. Excessive weight gain in our youth is a serious public health challenge. It is associated with diabetes and heart disease, often with onset in childhood. We've seen this at Stanford, where we've had 8 or 9 year old boys come into the emergency room with a heart attack. So it really is a serious health concern. Most importantly, research has predicted reduced life expectancy for these children. So this research asks, how do we get Latino families to participate in health interventions targeted to their children? This study evaluates sustained participation in Stanford Etchele. Etchele was a pediatric clinical trial that tested whether folkloric dance and screen time TV reduction curriculums could prevent or reduce excessive weight gain in Latina youth ages 7 through 11. Interventions took place year-round, 5 days a week, for a period of 2 years, with the exception of a holiday in December and 2 weeks in summer. Screen time reduction curriculum was home-based, family-centered, and lasted 2 years. We literally attached a TV monitor to the televisions, and the parent would enter the budget. Usually it was an hour a day for a total of 7 hours a week. And if the girl exceeded her budget, the TV wouldn't turn on. Dads didn't always like this particular intervention. So I was the project director on this project. The PI on the project was Dr. Thomas Robison, who is well known in the pediatric community for doing this type of work for more than 25 years and among many different groups. The purpose of this ethnographic research was to see what promotes and what prevents sustained participation in these very intensive health interventions. In total, 83 ethnographic interviews were obtained. After we translated and transcribed all this material, we performed content analysis on 470 pages of narrative data. We did domain analysis using the Spradley ethnographic method, and this was followed by some statistical analysis. For those of you not familiar, there is actually software out there that helps you organize narrative data. And the most popular one right now that I'm aware of is InVivo. It helps us organize this information in a systematic way. The Spradley ethnographic method also does the same, helping us organize the narrative text. So overall, 40 families participated in this sub-study. 40 women and 43 girls. And overall, our adult participants identified as Latino of Mexican descent, 98%. They were foreign-born, had low levels of formal education, were low to moderate in income. This is the Bay Area, so we are going to get some higher income levels, and resided overall in two-parent households. Most of the children, on the other hand, spoke English and were born here, as is typical in this area. So after we analyze all this qualitative data, three domains for understanding participation emerge from the narrative analysis and include these following domains: family cohesiveness, perceived gains, and culturally relevant program structure. Themes that promote participation under the family cohesiveness domain are as follows, and they are ranked in order of importance. Mainly for parents, changes in child behavior and positive changes in child activities as they observe in the home setting, and for children, family bonding. I just want to make sure I'm on the right slide, okay? One parent observes increased family cohesiveness in the following quote: "I have noticed a great change." This is from participating in the program. "She is calmer, less aggressive towards me, more controllable. I can tell her, let's go here, let's do this, let's go out, let's walk, and yes, we don't get as mad at each other anymore." And here is a child's observation under the domain family cohesiveness. This can be seen in the following quote: "I'm learning not to watch too much TV. I'm not eating that much fast food anymore, and I'm learning that I can have more time to do more activities in my house and outside with my friends and my sisters and helping around the house." And here you see a picture of our TV diary, one of the goal-setting activities in the TV curriculum. Now, our other domain, perceived gains. Themes that promote participation under this realm, this domain, are as follows: parents observing more confidence or a better attitude in their children, that their child enjoys the comprehensive program. And for the children, they observe many things, but they state it differently. More importantly, playing, that they enjoy the program. And ranked 12th was time with pets, because they are watching less TV. I thought that was really unusual that they would make that observation. Yeah, I'm spending more time with my pets. So examples of perceived gains can be seen in these quotes. For example, one parent states, she's more independent. Now she does not need for me to speak for her as much. She's more sure of herself. And that's probably because of the dance curriculum, where they're engaging in many different performances. You develop self-confidence and stage presence. Another child states, "I get to like dance more in my room than last time, because last time I just spent more time watching TV than I usually did, and now that the TV budget is right there, I spend more time dancing in my room than watching TV." This is an important behavioral change. Now, the last domain for participation is culturally relevant program structure. So in many different ways, parents stated that they appreciated the culturally tailored nature of the program and it provides an activity for a program. And children were more specific, stating, yes, I like dancing folklorico, yes, I like the Mexican arts and crafts. And we have a variety of Latinos in the Bay Area, as many of you know, but in this particular neighborhood, 98% of the families were from Michoacan. So it was more of a homogeneous population, which is why we did it this way. One parent states, "I think it's helped her 100% because the perception of the kids from here that have about our dances, I mean folk dances from Mexico, any other country, is different. It has helped her. It has changed her 100%. So I take this to mean more cultural pride is instilled in the children. The child says something different but similar. It helps me learn parts of Mexico because we talk a lot about it and their cultures and dancing, and because dancing is really like beautiful, and I especially like the skirts because you're like, yeah, you can use them a lot. So this is very important about the skirts, because our whole symbol was the folklorico skirt, and I actually wanted to wear my sweatshirt that had the symbol, but I was advised, dress fancy today, wear that tomorrow. But we were very excited about how we designed the uniform. Okay, 2 minutes. Okay,
no,
but
five minutes.
All right. Only two domains for understanding barriers emerge. What that's important is to address that there are barriers to these type of programs. And I'm going to move quickly here. Some parents and children had instructor concerns, and yes, we did have some turnover rate. But that, as the program progressed, that became less. And some people reported concerns, like the children said, well, maybe didn't like doing the homework, didn't like not watching so much TV. So this was, you know, kind of inherent in the actual program itself. The discomforts are something that are actually a little more important that we need to talk about, because whenever you get in these kind of settings, we're in 7th elementary school, two schools had really prominent gang issues. We did get some child bullying, and we did take measures to address this, and this emerged for the children as well, and they reported this. Overall findings, parents that reported perceived gains had a positive correlation with mean attendance data at 2 years into the program. And the reporting of discomfort subthemes, such as the child bullying, was correlated negatively with attendance. So that means that these children attended less often. Now, when we straightened out those issues, the attendance rate came up. But it is rare for a qualitative researcher to try to verify their results with statistical analysis. So here it does show you that qualitative data does actually have some predictive ability. These are my keys to health intervention participation, so just change that title there. And I'm going to go through them very quickly. Strive for a culturally tailored intervention. Somebody could write a dissertation on this, but in this case it meant bicultural staff and community members were engaged in both the development and implementation of the curriculums. Design activities that engage other family members in culturally appropriate ways. So example, our screen time reduction curriculum, we had activities and goal setting for the siblings that were not participating in the clinical trial so the whole family could participate. And the performances get the family involved in the costuming activities, etc. Project management matters. And we really prepared for trying to deal with behavioral issues. We had a behavioral management plan, a respect pledge was developed, we tried to apply consequences equally, we documented, we developed a progressive curriculum where the dances and the goal setting activities were easier and they progressed to more difficult and challenging activities, which gave children and their families a sense of accomplishment. We really strive for a community-based program where community involvement in the design of the curriculums may even lead to sustainability. So for example, our dance program ended, but it still exists in the community because two of the instructors went on to develop their own program when Etchele ended. School-based is important for health interventions. Conclusions. Our findings suggest that prevention interventions that are family-centered, school-based, community-oriented, and focus on tangible short-term gains in children may generate solid participation rates. Through participation in these two-year health interventions, our research team tried to make the children and their families conscious on the ways that lifestyle, in this case physical activity and reduced TV viewing, impact health overall and not weight per se. We made a deliberate attempt and effort not to promote losing weight or dieting. So efforts to reduce excessive weight gain in children that target groups of families as opposed to individuals in families may have a more lasting impact. This is our research team, very interdisciplinary, and we thank the NIDDK for their support and the families and my family for all the time I was away. And my husband is out there with my infant.
We have time for a few questions. If anybody has any questions,
have any questions?
Where did you have the classes?
We actually had them in.
They looked like they were on campus, though.
They were in the schools, and yes, we had some of the performances on the Stanford campus because we actually brought the kids to the Stanford campus to encourage thinking about going to college, but the day-to-day was actually in their schools. And we often partnered with the Boys and Girls Club to give us space, and other community organizations. PAL was another organization that gave us space. These organizations actually had space on the campuses themselves. We went all over the place. We mainly did the recruiting and after school nights at the relevant schools. So I'd go to after school night where the parents were required to come. You'd have 300 people in the audience and basically say, this is the program that we have. You're invited. And we didn't, I mean, although it was targeted towards Latinos, we did have a few other folks that were in the program. And so we didn't make it ethnic specific. They had to be between 7 and 9 years old at the age of enrollment. That was our key thing. And because we were recruiting from these schools, we knew that they were the poorest in our region. This is what we targeted for the poorest schools. Thank you for your question.
We have time for just one more question.
And I don't know if it was part of the presentation. I came late, so I apologize. How did you connect with the medical community?
Well, that was easy because the PI is a pediatrician and well-known. He did a really large project in Oakland called GEMS. It received national recognition. And just also Kaiser is really very prominent in this. We got referrals from Kaiser all the time. And I said, does it work this way? You have to recruit from the school, not from the doctor. So we did get a lot of support from the medical community. So it's by virtue of the interdisciplinary team and the linkages that the Stanford
prevents. One of the biggest problems with these great community programs and nobody links it with the medical community.
Maybe get a pediatrician on board if it's targeted towards children.
Right.
Because he was very much an advocate.
Thank you.
Thank you.